Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
You're listening to Saturday Night Live. I'm Ron Burgundy. Damn it, who put a question mark on the teleprompter? I'm not Ron Burgundy, I'm still the flute. And I'm joined by my usual Saturday Draft Live team first. The man who's desperate to for the restrictions to be lifted so he can get out there and put on some of that Sex Panther he always wears. It is our resident Brian Fantana, is Jack Hume.
Wow.
Oh man, what phase can I do this in? Two or three? I don't know, but it's waiting for it.
I mean, it's a code. It's much like your draft team, Jack. 60% of the time, it works every time.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, and, I got you.
And as usual, our resident tits McGee is David Hockney.
Oi! Why am I tits McGee?
Because I'm trying to follow the Anchorman theme, and plus I thought it was funny.
Whatever, I'll just go with it.
And we've got a special guest this week. I said to Stephen Wilson, get me Brody Lee. He said he's unavailable. Well, get me his non-union Scottish equivalent. It's the Steven Spielberg go today. Brody Lee Spielberg. It's Grant McRobbie.
Good afternoon. What an introduction. I thought you were going to like... Oh, like brick or something like that to keep the Anchorman team going.
Yeah, well, I could have tried and be clever and tie into the Anchorman, but you know, I thought that was just funnier, so I just went with him.
Oh, just wait, we'll be singing Afternoon Delight in a wee minute.
Rockets in flight.
So before a sing song breaks out, we should remind you that you're listening to us on the Suplex Retreat Extra feed, which you can find on all good Android podcast sites. Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, as well as our main feeds, Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retreat, where our most recent show went up, talking about the best and worst championship title designs. And remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Suplex Retweet. So let's get into how we usually start these shows with the top three, and same as previous weeks, our second and third on the table this week are both tied with the same amount of points. It's 13 apiece. Between one person who we talk about quite often, certainly not much new stuff to talk about, with Charlotte Flair at 13 points. But Grant, good week for you to be here, because one of your picks in the top three, Hikaru Shida, with 13 as well after a big win at Double or Nothing.
The one that everyone thought I was making a dodgy choice to begin with, thinking that's a big risk, is paying off big time now.
Yeah, certainly. Dave, Jack, are you surprised to see your Hikaru Shida in the top three? Were you surprised at the outcome at Double or Nothing?
You know what? I was a bit sceptical about Grant picking Hikaru Shida because, you know, obviously going up against Nyla Rose, and this was her first defence since, you know, probably since like winning it from Riho. So I was expecting a Nyla Rose retain there, but, you know, Grant's done bits with Hikaru Shida winning. You know, she's now his second highest scorer in his team with 20 points now. So... he's played a blinder there, and I don't think any of us would have predicted a win for Hikaru.
Mm-hmm. I actually did predict a win for Hikaru Shida in our sweeps. I kind of thought that she'd be kind of the only... Not I'm saying Nyla Rose is incredible, but at this time I feel that Hikaru Shida would have been the kind of obvious choice to kind of take the women's division a bit forward and kind of solidify it in a way with like consistent appearances and kind of showcasing the title a bit. So no, I was a... A very smart move, Grant getting her, so fair play, man.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it last week when we were before Double or Nothing, that it was kind of 50-50 on whether or not I thought she was going to win, and that, yeah, she's got all this momentum, and she's claiming the rankings right naturally, and obviously, you look at the face heel side of the women's division, the face side is kind of lacking, so I think it's smart why they chose her as a face champion. But yeah, again, it's surprising because Nyla Rose hasn't had that many title defences. Then again, you can kind of put that down to her having to isolate for about a good few weeks of her reign. So I think if she had had that time on TV, we'd probably think a bit differently.
Definitely. I think it would have been quite a bit different if if this all hadn't kicked off, it could have been a completely different story for how these reigns went down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Flair again in the top three. Surprising because she's been consistently appearing. She was in the tag match on NXT. She lost in the triple threat on Raw this past week, the normal contenders match. And it's weird, she's remaining at the top despite getting quite a few losses recently.
Now, Charlotte Flair has had a bit of an up and down week, to say the least, but the one benefit that she has is obviously she's on your team, Scott, and she's your captain. So even if she just makes appearance points, you know, that could be a big scorer for her. So even if she loses, it's not the worst thing, because look, she's still in the top three. And that tag match on NXT, it was pretty good quality, given that, you know, we're now building towards TakeOver In Your House next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with regards to TakeOver and with Charlotte's defense of the women's title, we'll be coming back to that when we talk a bit more about Grant's team, because obviously he's got Rhea Ripley, and definitely eventually we'll have a one-on-one singles rematch between Charlotte and Rhea, and I think that's going to go more in Grant's favor than mine. But we look at the top of the table, and this stings for me a bit, because with 21 points, partly due to him beating one of my picks, Lance Archer, it is your first ever TNT champion, Cody.
the Turok's tea cake champion.
Arn Anderson, yeah, all looking blatantly shoved Lance Archer off that rope, and yet Jake Snake Roberts is getting kicked out when he didn't do nothing.
I feel you're great, Scott.
I find it too hilarious.
Yeah,
I said as well a couple of weeks ago before Alan made the captain switch, that Cody should have been his captain for day one. And now that it's happened, look, that's just, it's quite, not that it's climbed them up quite high up in the leaderboard, but it's kind of brought him closer to the kind of rest of the middle of the pack. And that, like, he's going to be defending this title every week now. And, like, you won't see him losing. So that's going to be like a guaranteed, like, 8 points or something each week.
Yeah.
I don't know. More than that, it's, Alan's quite a dark horse now for getting into this top half, I think.
Yeah. I think Alan, especially, like, in season three, he tends to start kind of near the bottom, but sometimes he does manage to surprise people and claim the table, like he did TakeOver Blackpool 2 in season 3. And yeah, Cody is set to defend the title against Jungle Boy next week, and he's going to be regularly defending the title, and obviously being the first ever champion, they want to have him, give him a good reign with it. So I could see him carrying it through to the end of the season and beyond. So I think, yeah, that makes Cody even more valuable as a pick to Alan. I think if he's still got the TNT title going into season 6, then yeah, Cody's a different first round pick. I don't want to let my disdain for Archer losing blind what is a smart move on Alan's pick for not only picking Cody but now making him his captain.
Just a big well done, isn't it, prick.
But don't forget as well, there is the transfer window coming up, which no points will be on offer, so that could be a moment of respite for quite a few people.
Yeah, but no, you know, he's not getting transferred for Cody, like, you'd be a fool to let Cody go.
Oh no, it's not that, it's not about the matter of transferring, it's the fact that points will be on freeze during the transfer window.
Well, all I can say is my spot in the top of the mountain. Come at me, lads. Come at me.
And we look at the top 10. We talked about Drew, Charlotte, and Bayley kind of dominating the top. Cody, I think, partly in due to his win at Double or Nothing, has leapfrogged over Aleister Black with 35 points overall, with the fourth highest score in the top 10 of the season. Aleister Black now 75th with 32. So, and I think by the end, I think Cody could be even neck with Drew and Charlotte by the end.
And the captaincy advantage as well adds to that, because captaincy bonuses apply to all these top scores as well.
Yeah, because you look at the top 10, I think with the exception of Asuka, all of the top, everybody in the top 10 is a captain, I think. So obviously that really helps her score, which also shows how impressive Asuka's been so far. She's made it in there.
John Moxley's not Ross's captain.
Oh yeah, Aleister Black.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, bad choice.
Talking about Ross Grant, you and him have basically been fighting back and forth for the top spot. I mean, basically most weeks it's either he's on number one, you're on number two, or vice versa. And we want to talk more about your team in depth, because for a first season, the fact that you've been ranked so high is fairly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it was the team that I chose. Well, some of it is going to, when you look at it on paper, it's quite obvious. And yeah, I've got a couple of gamble choices, which I think are going to start paying out. Shida being one, Dakota Kai being another. I think over the next month or two, they're going to come into their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, like, not to try to devalue your success so far, because you've done very well, but you got to think that despite being your first season, you getting the number one pick had to play a part in it.
Oh yeah, because I had in my mind what my plan would have been, which was I wanted Drew, and he has been my biggest scorer. There's no doubt without Drew, I would probably still be doing pretty well if I got one of my other choices instead of him. But I wouldn't be sitting as comfortably ahead with Ross as what I am at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the same with Ross. Like, Charlotte Flair or Drew, those are the two you won if you're in the top two. And I was hesitant, I didn't know if Grant would go away. So as soon as he said Drew, I remember like, all right, then I guess I'm taking Charlotte Flair. And mm-hmm. I think they're the two most obvious. But you look at your team, I mean, I think a possible gamble in some people's eyes may have been picking the women's tag titles, because like in recent seasons they haven't always fared well. And so far, so good with Alexa and Nikki, but I think these could be a big risk for you, given the story they're telling the Iconics. Are you concerned about them losing the tag titles at Backlash?
I am. I'm a wee bit worried about things at the moment, because things like, well, we saw with SmackDown last night, Bliss getting a loss in a singles match, so it's got me a little bit worried. So, and I reckon
next week you've got they're defending the tag titles against Banks and Bayley, so that could be at least a good few points before Backlash, where you might. I'm not trying to plant seeds of doubt or like thought into your head, but if it goes the way you're thinking, like your tag team is probably your kind of one to transfer if you're going to transfer anything. So like, you can still at least grab a few points before the transfer week happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. I think with the Bayley and Banks, with them defending against them, I think they'll either. I don't think they're going to get a clean win. I think it could be like a disqualification win or something like that. Just got that feeling in my head about, I think the way they're building the Iconics, but then at the same time the Iconics have also been built similar before, where they're looking quite credible and then all momentum is just the rugs pulled out from under them. So it's 50-50 in what we're going to go down.
I don't blame you for that, having that impression, Grant, because Bliss and Cross I think have actually done you pretty well with consistent appearances with Moment of Bliss and also regular tag title defences. So I don't know. Personally, I think maybe you should hold off thinking about possibly transferring them, because they could still get you points even if they're not the champions, because they're technically a really solid tag team at the minute. But looking at some other statistics for the moment, because obviously you and Ross are currently 3 points apart. Grant, you have a median score of 14 points, but Ross has a median score of 20.5. His team is much more balanced when it comes to overall scoring, whereas you have mainly got one or two key scorers. Do you think is that something that concerns you at all?
I would be concerned, but when I look at Ross's team, he's very Monday night heavy, whereas my team's got a little bit more spread over the week. So I feel it gives me a bit more breathing room compared to him.
Especially when you've got the Street Profits playing golf every week and chucking axes and that, you know, that's not going to help him any doubt.
You're quite right, Grant. Yeah, Ross doesn't have any SmackDown people on his team, whereas your team is a lot more balanced.
Well, you say that, like, your team looks, from where I'm looking at, Grant, very Wednesday night heavy, other than Drew, who's obviously the figurehead of Raw, and Bliss and Cross, you can kind of go to any brand, being the women's tag champs. You've got Rhea, you've got, like, Shida, Dakota Kai, Joy Gargano. Like, these are, like, mostly Wednesday night, like, NXT and AEW people, which helps you kind of midweek, but obviously, again, it's really focus on one particular like point in the week. Although, given that we're coming up to In Your House and Johnny Gargano has got a North American title shot against Keith Lee, and Rhea Ripley is in that triple threat match for the women's title, depending on how like that plays out, In Your House could be another big night for you.
Yeah, In Your House could be a very big make or break night for me, because it could give me a huge points advantage over Ross until Backlash comes round. Mm-hmm. And there's still the card still to fill out, and I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow fit something in with Shotzi and Tegan Knox and like Dakota Kai and stuff like that, which could then give me even more points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, on the subject of Shotzi Blackheart, seeing as you brought her up, I did have a little bit of a gripe with somebody that all three of us on Saturday Draft Live have had gripes with. Apparently, if wrestlers who are not taking part in the show are sitting in the crowds, they don't get appearance points for it. Because that's been the case with AEW wrestlers since they started sitting in the crowd area. And Shotzi Blackheart's been the same with the NXT trainees and Performance Center people in the Raw and SmackDown crowds this week. So I think that's a bit of a gripe. But then again, if we haven't been counting those points since the crowd showed up, then I suppose it's keeping consistency. But I'm no happy about it.
I mean, you're not going to get much from it, though, either, though, Dave.
Hey, every little helps.
Yeah, but like, you're getting on 1 or 2 points from who is effectively, I think, your worst performer on your team.
No. That honour goes to Sami Zayn, who's just, you know, went away and hid.
Hey, you forget about him.
I know. Remember Sami was a thing?
Yeah, apparently so.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
That was my reference.
Going back to like In Your House, I'm curious on how the Triple Threat plays out, because I think I'm of the opinion that the Triple Threat is designed to help Charlotte just hold on to the belt until we can get a singles match between her and Rhea. And looking at it, Rhea, because she was away for the first few weeks of the season before she came back to interfere in the Charlotte v EO match, she has been kind of your lowest scoring pick so far, Grant, but I think she will regain the NXT One title by the end of the season. And I think she'll go from one of your lowest performing picks to maybe one of your top performing picks.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm definitely of that feeling that Rhea's going to pay off for me by the end of the season. I was absolutely livid that she dropped to Charlotte in the first place. And right now, I am sick fed up of seeing Charlotte on every single show.
You were livid. she was my captain last season.
It's like the Rick and Morty meme. It's like, Charlotte, hey, there's a WWE show. You son of a bitch, I'm in. But yeah, the Triple Threat, I think it's designed to, because they're clearly playing on that EO and Rhea have got a bit of history, and they're going to probably end up costing each other the match and giving Charlotte the win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Triple Threat, I think, kind of is right for like Charlotte to basically be lying in wait to steal the win. And if anything, it's going to give you more intrigue and make people more desperate for Rhea to finally take the belt off her. So from a storyline perspective, as much as frustrating as it may be maybe for you from a draft perspective, storyline-wise, it makes sense. And like, I've made no bones, so I can't really make any bones that Charlotte's going to carry my team for the most part. I mean, fucking Kushida didn't win the Triple Threat, and somehow Drake Maverick's winning, even though he might be leaving. Or is he leaving? I don't fucking know at this point. But at the moment, while you've got top performing picks at the moment, like Karashida, the main figurehead of your team, without any doubt, is Drew McIntyre. Are you in any fear that by the end of the season, Drew will lose the title? Like, because obviously he's your top performer, and because if he loses the title, that could lead to a major dip for you.
I honestly don't have any fears of Drew dropping the title anytime soon, especially with all the rumours, all the gossip, and that everything sounds like they're planning without Roman at the moment, and Drew is their new guy.
Mm-hmm. Do you fear a bit that, like, obviously they wanted the big crowd reaction for Drew of winning the title against Brock, but obviously what's happening right now, we haven't got that. I said fear. I don't really fear. Do you think that there is a chance that he could lose to Lashley for him to win it back at SummerSlam, and it's the potential to have some sort of crowd again?
I don't think they're going to drop him with that. There is one thing I think that Drew will have to do at some point during this reign, and I think he's going to have to turn at some point. Because mm-hmm. you look at the size of him, his demeanour, his manner. As a face, he's doing pretty good, but he's got the risk of becoming a bit goofy. Whereas when you're that strong, that kind of confident, he should naturally be leaning more towards being a bit of a heel, I think.
It's an interesting point you make, Graham. The reason I bring up the possibility of him losing is, Jack, you've been kind of following the development of Bobby Lashley from just squashing folk to aligning with MVP and now being a contender for the title. So I'm wondering, like, you, as someone who's been following Bobby Lashley last week, so are you worried for Grant's captain losing the title, even though he might just probably gain it back when there's a crowd, but do you think about the possibility of Lashley winning?
Yeah, I think it would make a lot of sense, especially as you're kind of, as Grant was saying, that kind of Roman's a bit out of the picture now, and they kind of need to face the company. And I know that you were fearing that he's becoming a bit goofy, but I felt that this week on Raw, he kind of brought the serious side back, and kind of MVP needed to help him with that a bit. Mm-hmm. So I feel he might just kind of go back to how he was when he first kind of won the title. Obviously, the past couple of weeks, he's been kind of having fun with himself and whatnot, but I feel that that's kind of coming back. And I feel that the loss to Lashley and then winning again at SummerSlam could help. And I feel that Lashley will definitely be a hot commodity for the transfer, regardless of a win or a loss at Backlash.
Yeah, because I've been saying that Lashley probably will probably be worth picking in the transfer window, because he wasn't picked at the start of the season, but with or without the title he's booking so far, now that MVP is his manager, is significantly improved. Even if he doesn't win the title, you know he'll be constantly appearing. Maybe you can see him going after Apollo in the US belt, because now that he's got a face mid-card champion to chase, so I definitely think it's worth taking a punt on Bobby Lashley. But Grant, again, talking about how successful your team's been for your first season, like, when you look at Gargano, who's been making appearances, but I think this match for Keith Lee is his first proper big match of the season, I think, and Dakota Kai's made a handful of appearances on NXT. When those are your kind of least performing picks, then I think that just spells that you've got a strong team.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably say Gargano's match is probably the one that I'm the most worried about, because Keith Lee has been a very strong North American champion. Mm-hmm. And Gargano's history with holding titles isn't exactly the best on the single side of things. But at the same time, I am loving this new, arrogant, all heart, no soul, whatever, the Johnny Gargano way. I'm really loving this character and what he's bringing with it.
Yeah. It would be interesting because, you know, Gargano is a former North American champion, but I think this could be very different given that, you know, I think he didn't hold titles for long as a face, but I think that was due to the fact that usually faces, when they have long title reigns, don't become as interesting. Whereas if you put a title on a heel Gargano, you'd actually see a decent length reign for once.
Yeah, because, I mean, like this to me, like, people have talked about that Gargano was kind of turned heel before, but it was more the fact that he was obsessed with Ciampa.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it made him more of an anti-hero than I'd say a true heel, but now he is just being a true arrogant heel and insufferable, and he's doing it so well.
We talk about you being 3 points between you and Ross at the top of the table, so we'll get into the top 10 the table this week. Number 10 with 34 points, God, we had such hope for him, it's Ryan Gallagher. And just what I say, well, if you go to your local shops, you'll be seeing these milk cartons with a picture of Indu Share on the side saying, have you seen the tag team? If you have any information, please send it to @SuplexRetweet. Just above him with 49 points, it's our own David Hockney.
I'm getting there. I'm starting to build momentum.
That's it. That's the Stacey Smith attitude to the draft. Yeah, maybe 9, but it's a place.
Yeah. That's TDDY. Oh, bollocks that. Never mind.
Moving on. It's Daniel Campbell with 55. 7th is Alan with 68. 1 better, Jack Graham with 69. Nice.
Giggity.
Giggity.
And 5th is myself with 85. Gary, like he usually does with SmackDown, because I think he's got a SmackDown heavy team.
Yeah, he does.
Jumps ahead of me in 4th with 90. 99 is the score for Stephen, who's in 3rd. And then quite a significant jump here, with Ross at number 2 with 119 and Grant with 122 in the top.
So beautiful, you love to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a two-horse race between you and Ross at the minute, Grant, but you never know. Some of the other guys could creep up on us, because someone in particular I want to talk about is Gary, because he currently is the only person in this draft who's every member of his team has scored at least 10 points. So he's actually got a very, very well-balanced team at the minute, despite it being SmackDown heavy. And there's obviously, you know, with Daniel Bryan being featured in the Intercontinental title tournament, and then there's the feud between Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, who's also on his team. And there's also the potential feud between Bayley and Sasha down the line. So his SmackDown heavy team, he's actually doing very well at the minute.
And yeah. There is something else that could come into contention, which I think could have a big impact on points for everyone in the future. And that was the Revival, or as they are now known as, FTR.
A very hot commodity.
Shh, Grant, don't go telling folk about FTR.
I mean, it's something it was going to get brought up eventually, because quite a few people on this draft table, quite a few of them, their weak point is their tag team, so there's going to be definitely quite a few new tag teams after the transfer window. And I think it's just a race to see who gets FTR, but I think we didn't really talk about them before. It's like we weren't sure, one, like how long their no-compete was, and two, like how soon they would be showing up wherever they were going, because pretty sure they said on Talking Jericho they would be appearing for places like AEW, but they said they weren't keen on signing contracts just yet.
Mm-hmm.
AEW probably let them wrestle other places, so I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe do a little appearance in New Japan for World Tag League later in the year.
If New Japan's even able to do World Tag League at this stage, because we're God knows when they're going to be able to do shows again. But Gary has been claiming the table very well, like making David Campbell proud. Boston and Grant have got strong teams. I think like we shouldn't count out quite a few of the people have still left, like Alan at seventh with Cody. I think Cody can help carry his team up into the top five. I think if I can get a decent enough tag team in the transfer window and get rid of these fucking this dead weight of the Usos, then I can move back up. Because I think maybe we're in about three or four most of the week, and then someone like Gary knocks me back down again by the time we get to this show.
One of the Usos nearly won the Battle Royal this week on SmackDown as well.
Well, one doesn't get me any points. You have to have both of them.
I know. I just wanted to rub it in. And I'm really pleased that the Young Bucks are actually on the board now, and they're now my third best performers. So I'm really pleased with that.
You know, who would have thought out of me, Jack and Dave that the person to most benefit points-wise from Double or Nothing would be Dave, the Silverfest WWE man.
Yeah, my only AEW representation on my team, and the Young Bucks, now that they're back on TV, it's actually helping me out a lot. And don't forget as well, Velveteen Dream, who's my team captain, has got another NXT title match at NXT TakeOver In Your House, which could very well mean another big points getter if he wins this time.
Yeah, because they have made this whole stipulation that it's your last chance, and usually someone's last chance, that basically spells they're winning.
Yeah.
So I think you have reason to be confident. I would like
to also take a moment to address the fact that now that my baby Adam Cole is now 365 days as NXT champion, a full year of undisputed greatness.
Shut up. There's no part of your team, Gangrel.
No, he is on Daniel's team though, but he could potentially gain a lot of points too, because his team's very NXT heavy with Keith Lee as his captain. He's got Adam Cole and he's also got Io Shirai. But at the same time, he's also at risk of losing a lot of points as well. Because I remember you were talking about how Grant could benefit from TakeOver In Your House. Daniel also has a lot to gain, but he also has a lot to lose as well.
Yeah, because unfortunately with the triple threat stipulation and the potential for the rematch one-on-one with Rhea and Charlotte, I hate to say it, but he was there to take the pin, I feel, and Cole is probably going to drop the title, so I don't think we'll be seeing, after New House, Daniel moving that much higher up the table. I think, Dave, you might leapfrog him down to the table. Somebody who I think is keeping Ross near the top as well as like Selena Vega and Alistair Black we talked about before, was John Moxley with a successful defence at the title at Double or Nothing, and we're now building to another title defence against Brian Cage at Fyter Fest sometime in June. Unfortunately, Jack, that came at the expense of the Exalted One, Brody Lee.
Absolute joke. I said that it was too soon this kind of title feud to happen. This was something I thought maybe could have been a bit down the line, kind of near the end of the season. I thought there would be quite a few squashes with Brodie Lee. And then when I saw this happening, I was like, well, if Brodie Lee lost, it's going to hurt him too much to recover. And then what did we see? We see him lose. Didn't see him on AEW at all this week on Dark or Dynamite. He's went MIA much with the rest of my team this week. You know what I mean? I had Kevin Owens appeared and got a point, but lost. Miz and Morrison wasn't there. Mandy Rose was just appearing. Cross just appeared. Shayna Baszler went MIA. I've been at 69 points for 2 weeks. I've had an absolute stinker.
You just love a 69, don't you?
In the worst place to be, but...
It's... I really did have high hopes for my team, because it's quite... Consider I drafted from like slap bang in the middle, like at fifth, and I thought I've got quite a lot of good dark horses and like maybe like consistent point getters, but I'm kind of doubting myself a bit now. I don't know how I'm going to turn it the rest of the season. I don't think I'm going to get very far. Maybe I get a few points near the end, but I can't see myself getting much higher, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So I think my mindset with regards to Brodie Lee in this title match, I think it was definitely too soon. And part of me thinks maybe the pandemic played a big part in him getting the title shot when he did. I think like MJF got injured, Pac was stuck in the UK. So in terms of top contenders, I think Brodie Lee was really the only one they had available for a match at Double or Nothing who could have some credibility. But I think if they'd had other people who could have went against Moxley, they definitely would have saved that match for down the line. I don't know if that guaranteed Lee would have won, but I think it would have been more of a chance that he would win if it was down the line rather than so soon after his debut.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will say about your team, Jack, is though, you've got a very, very dark horse pick in the form of Karrion Kross, who also has a match at TakeOver in your house. So you never know. I think Karrion Kross might be your saving grace for the following week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the one saving grace, I think, for your team, Jack, that Karrion Kross, unlike Brodie Lee, so new, but not being put in title matches, so I think you're guaranteed a good few wins. I think the United States pulls at the upset on Tommaso Ciampa.
I think also Kevin Owens could be a good shout in Raw. He just came back. Fair enough, he lost to Garza this week, but like that's 5 points in the kind of 2 weeks he's been there. He'll probably have a pay-per-view match against Garza or something, but Kevin Owens is someone you can have on a TV each week and in a match, and there's always that chance that he's going to win just because he's Kevin Owens, so he could be a bit of a sleeper car into it now as well, because I was worried with his injury, but maybe not so worried now, but well, just need to wait and see. I'm still a bit sceptical, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk a lot more about In Your House next week as we prepare for it, because we're looking to have quite a few shows in close succession with each other. We had Money in the Bank, then Double or Nothing, then In Your House, and then the Transfer Window and Backlash, like. So almost every week there's something big that can like turn the tide in the table, and I think that's what makes a season like this so like intriguing, and as always, we'll always be here to cover it. But Grant, I want to thank you for joining us, and before we wrap up, I want to ask you one more question. Is there anybody, like out of anyone, who would you say is the one you're most concerned about draft-wise, and you might consider transferring if there is anybody at the moment?
If there's anyone I was to transfer, it comes down to probably my tag team.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my concern, but I'm going to keep an eye on things. I'm not making any hasty decisions yet, because sometimes it might be a bump in the road and it's worth weathering the storm.
Yeah, because like, I look at your team, I think you're one of the few teams that if you didn't really transfer anybody, I think you'd still manage to hold on to the top spot for at least a while, because there's still a lot of possibilities with your team. But yeah, given like with Bailey and Sasha, and then the things they've been doing with the Iconics, I think the biggest risk for you holding on to right now is the Iconics as your tag team. Sorry, Bliss and Cross as your tag team, because if they lose the titles and then they're not challenging for them again, then all you really have for them to do is like a moment of Bliss segments, and they'll get you appearance points, but they're not as valuable as the championship points you would have been getting.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's where I really need them to come into their own. And I'm kind of hoping that the women's tag division would pick up a little bit, because there'd be less people available to come in, but not quite panned out how I hope.
You know, but I thought that Lance Archer was a dead cert to win the TNT title, so sometimes the season doesn't turn out how you want it to.
Yeah, we feel your pain.
we've all been there. It happens to the best of us. Okay, thank you everybody for listening, and remember to subscribe to Super HP Treat Extra on all good Android podcasts. As I said, Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, and remember for our main feed, Super HP Treat on all good Android podcasts, the same ones as Super HP Treat Extra, because we have a special show coming up on Wednesday, the NXT quiz hosted by myself.
Thank God.
Because usually I am a top performer in a quiz, but to kind of paraphrase Darth Vader, now I am the quiz master.
Get out.
And the performers, people who will be putting through their paces in an NXT quiz will be the men, some, including the men I have with me today. I have Grant, Jack and Dave. You will all be competing in this quiz as well as Daniel Campbell and our new Super HP Treat champion, Sarah Gief, who won the title in our sweep at Dull or Nothing. And you're probably thinking, oh, Sarah, the champion is in the quiz. Does that mean the title's on the line? No. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Now, we like this show, right, guys? We like doing this show. I think we can do more to this show. We can turn it up just a little bit. We can turn it up to an 11. And by 11, I mean maybe my 11th reign as Suplex Retreat Champion. Because next week, Sarah, I'm inviting you to Saturday Draft Live because I'm calling my shot for the Suplex Retreat Championship that I earned from winning Season 4.
Shots fired.
Cast your minds back. David Campbell, I got some retribution on him for costing him Miz and Morrison because it was retribution for him cashing in on me all those months ago. And he and I made peace, we became friends, we started this glorious show. But Sarah, your cash-in was much more egregious. And to quote The Undertaker's song, I can't allow you to think you can just walk away. Because you know what they say about paybacks. You know, I'll just leave it there. Sarah, ball's in your court. We'll see you next week.